through Jane to you tonight, to just let it flow with the Spirit of God upon her, and that all of the things she wants to share tonight will be said in a sweet way that we'll all receive from it the glory of your word, Jesus Christ. In his name, amen.
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 Okay, thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Today's date is February 3rd, 2022. It's a famous day because yesterday was 2222. And that's one of my favorite sayings, is 2-2. If you don't know me very well, you'll figure it out. That's not true. 2-2. If I had to put a title on this message, it would be Put On Thy Strength. And I wrote up the verses up on the board for us to follow. I'm not sure how much I'll get through this. If I don't get all the way through, I will pick up next time when I teach. But one of the opening things is Isaiah 52 and 53 are so precious because it was written by the prophet Isaiah around 700 years before Jesus was born. So when people talk about, well, the Old Testament is not really applicable for today, it is a miracle right in here, cover to cover, because they talked about Jesus before he was around. Amen. The book of Isaiah. Please turn to Isaiah 52. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. From the word, you'll know that the law goes out of Zion, and the word comes out of Jerusalem. Pastor was talking about how we need to get connected with our covenant with the Lord. The Lord has saved us from sin and death, and he gave Jesus to us to accomplish this. And that's all part of the covenant. I just started studying on the covenant. I know there's a covenant of peace, but the main overall thing is that the Lord sent Jesus to us to save us. And we can't save ourselves. Put on thy beautiful garments. Has to do with praise. I'm going to jump over here to Isaiah 61 and verse 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to bring them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the plantings of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now, if you don't study the Bible, a lot of this is about, oh, that's lovely, it's a bunch of gobbledygook, but it's not. It's very pertinent to me, and I know if it's pertinent to me, other of y'all will probably find it's pertinent to you as well. He has given us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now, the beauty just isn't dumped on top of you, and the oil just comes on you, and the garment of praise, or the heaviness is not lifted. We've got to praise the Lord for this to be lifted. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning.
Amen. Amen.
These are all our tools to get through this thing, the beauty for the ashes and the oil of joy for mourning. He will do that for us as long as we reach out to him. The law shall go forth out of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. We should be in the Word of God. That gives us strength to make it through these times that we've got to go through. I'm turning now to Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 3. And many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. For he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth out of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He wants to teach us his ways. We need to walk in his paths. When we walk in his paths, he's going to teach us his ways. And we need to have his word constantly bathing into us so that we can have that change come through in us. I'm going next to Isaiah 43 and verse 1. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Now, when Jacob was wrestling with the angel, it was a wrestle. It was a struggle. He was struggling with the Lord. And in that struggle and in that wrestle and in that work, Jacob was being changed into Israel. It wasn't that Jacob was bad, but Jacob is what the Lord made him. But it's our job to work with the Lord and become Israel within us. It's a process. And, you know, we should not fear because we are being redeemed. He's called us by our name. I've talked to you about this before. I would have never been crazy about my name. But when the Lord calls you by his name, you know it's something that is special. It goes right down to your soul that he would call you by your name. That's true. All right, I'm going to go back to Isaiah 52. It says, henceforth, therefore, shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised or the unclean. We are being trained to recognize what are fleshly things, what are unnecessary, unfruitful works of the Spirit, and the unclean. You might not be able to recognize what is fleshly or what is worldly, but the Lord has put his Spirit within us so we can know, we can recognize what's unclean. That should tip us off right there. If we see that it's something that is unclean, then we know it's probably something that is fleshly and uncircumcised. Verse 2, shake thyself from the dust, arise and sit down. So we got to shake ourselves, arise and sit down with the word in his presence. O Jerusalem, loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughters of Zion. I tell you, the process that I'm going through, I feel physically a tightness on my neck, in my shoulders, in my back. And when I start feeling like I am losing oxygen, I just think on the Lord and I start to breathe. I start to relax. I start to enter into his presence so that those things start loosening and I can receive my deliverance in that by meditating on the Lord and his word in my heart. O captive daughter of Zion, that's me. But I'm getting better about being O captive. This right here is about deliverance. The Lord wants us to be free and not a captive. He would not tell us to do something that we're not able to do. The Lord wouldn't tell us to arise and shake that stuff off of you and sit down in my presence if we weren't able to do that. He's given it for us to do. And when we're obedient and do these things, then you see deliverance starts to manifest itself right in our body, right here where we are right now. Matthew 6 and verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Now, this is Jesus speaking, and we know it's Jesus speaking. Why?
It's in red.
Okay? He said, after this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father, which art in heaven. The Lord doesn't want us to pray out into the air. He wants to know. We call him our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. He's holy. He's precious. He's our great King. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. You know, if the Lord is going to come in his kingdom and the gospel of the kingdom is going to come here, we need to have his will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Amen.
Give us this day our daily bread. The Lord feeds us. We know that the bread speaks of deliverance. In my walk with the Lord every day, I look for deliverance in my life. Some of y'all who don't know me, I'm a mess. I was a mess. I'm a better mess now than I was a year ago. I'm a hot mess is what I am. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Sometimes things creep in our head that just cramp it. It freezes your head up and you go, oh, that's because something somebody said to me, or I said something to somebody else. But you see, the Lord's given us this prayer. He taught us how to pray this prayer to wash that clean. You know, kind of erase, and get that out of our head so that we can be free from it. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Even when we go through this, we tell the Lord, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Still it gets down to lead us not into temptation. That should tell you there, the Lord knows we're going to be tempted by things. And he has given us the equipment to take care of that temptation. And we have to ask the Lord, deliver us from these things. Deliver us from evil. Because evil, the devil, has no place here. We need to tell him that he's been defeated, he's got no hold on us, and that he's to go in the name of Jesus. Sometimes he likes to get me in my sleep, and I just let loose on him. I said, oh, Satan, you get out of here in the name of Jesus, and you leave in the name of Jesus. And I pray. And it used to frighten me, but it doesn't frighten me anymore. If I get that horrible, ugly feeling when I go to sleep, I just say Jesus' name on it, and he goes. Michael knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And thank God that the Lord has taught us how to pray and take care of these things. He's not going to do it for us. Why would the Lord make us and have us just be one of his puppets? He wants us to be involved. He wants us to be able to wield the sword and use the word and call down the Holy Spirit and let those things go and attack these horrible things. Verse 3, for thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourself for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith the Lord, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what... And this is kind of the funny part. I said, now therefore, what have I here? You know, we've all had times where we have done our own thing. It might not have been our own thing, but it could have been just error, iniquity, or during this thing, if it feels good, do it. I mean, when they were in Egypt or when they were wandering around in the wilderness for that time, there was times where they did their own thing. So, you know, after all this, the Lord says, what have I here? It's almost like, what have you done to yourself? You know, it's like you have polluted yourself with all these things that you should not have done. They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord. And my name is continually, every day is blasphemed. Now therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. So even when they went through and did their own thing, when we do our own thing and we have a mess, there might be sin, error, things that aren't fruitful, things that aren't like the will of the Lord, and the Lord looks at us and says, let's see what we have here. I mean, there might be times where you've gone to a place when people are cursing God. If you're bought by the Lord and if you're a Christian, that should ink inside your heart. Oh, they just spoke bad about the Lord. Watching television programs and they're cursing. I mean, you're hearing the Lord's name. It might not be positive, but that's his name. And you know you're not rising up to his standard, because when he says his name, you're hurt by it. It goes down deep. So you might go through a time in your life where you say, oh God. But then again, as you're working through this process, you might be going through the point that, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, help me. Oh God, you are real and you are here to help me. We really need to know his name and realize that the name of the Lord is powerful, and with his word. So even if it's negative here and it says that they blaspheme my name, I mean, that's horrible. But the thing is we got to know his name. Even though there might have been times where you blasphemed the Lord doesn't forget that. You don't forget that. But the thing is to remember, oh, what a precious thing it is for you to come to yourself and to return and to be redeemed and know that, you know, the name of the Lord is something that we really should honor. Hallowed be thy name. It goes right back to the Lord's Prayer that he has taught us to pray.
Yes.
Verse 6, therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. Verse 7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing. For they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. You know, I think the watchman for me is like the Holy Spirit. My conscience is my watchman. if I start doing something that's not quite right. He is my watchman, and also getting together in the house of the Lord with the brethren, sistren, with all you people. I mean, that's kind of like helps. That's what kind of helps be your conscience as well. The watchman shall lift up the voice. You know, when you're in that environment, that's where you get to where you're seeing eye to eye. You might not at first, but in the exchanging of ideas, they might lift you up. If somebody is looking the wrong way or something, they might lift you up. So it's all part of the growth that we're going through with the Lord. Verse 9, break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. The waste places. Verse 9 talks about the waste places. When you are reduced to rubble, and there is no way out but by God. Is there anybody in here besides me that has been reduced to rubble in the waste places?
Amen.
You feel like you are the lowest, lower than dirt. You're just incapacitated, like your feet are kicked out from under you, and you're in the middle of falling, and you're anticipating hitting right there on your butt, onto the ground. Those are the waste places, and the thing is it's real. If you haven't been there, I'm sorry, if the Lord's working with you, you might end up there sometime. I hope not. I'm not trying to speak a bad word, but you got to be prepared for yourself. But the good news is the Lord has comforted his people. And in the comfort, you know, that's the redemption going on in your heart right now. So that's why we should be breaking forth into joy and singing together in the waste places. Verse 10, the Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. You know, when you have those waste places and you know the Lord is your only hope, and that you can see his strength in your life, that's a comfort to me. It is. Verse 11. And this is where he's going to put us to work. Depart ye. Depart ye. He said it twice. When the Lord said something twice in the Bible, you know to listen up. Depart ye. Depart ye. Go ye out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. You know, that's a mouthful right there, but sometimes you think, oh, nobody's going to know I'm doing X, Y, Z. You know, it might not be the best thing to do, but nobody's going to know. But the Lord knows. The Lord says, depart from those things. Go from the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. You know, there's been times where I know I was in error. And I didn't want to get up here and play the guitar. It's like, it was a year ago this month, I think, and I was teaching, and I said, I feel like I'm a fraud. I feel like I'm a hypocrite. I don't feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And it was all because I had all the things laid up on my head. And I knew then that the Lord was bringing me through a process. But you can't bear the vessels of the Lord knowing that you are not departing from those things that are holding you down, or you're touching the evil you know, dirty things. The Lord doesn't want us mixing up with dirty things. And no, I'm not a bad person, or I'm not a, you know, things like that. It's just normal, everyday life. Sometimes you have things that you have to get free from and cleansed from. That's just where it is. So this time last year, when I didn't feel like I could not sing, when I didn't feel like I could get up and play the guitar, when I felt like I was not worthy, I couldn't do it. And it was all because, you know, how can I sing the Lord's praises? How can I teach His word when I'm a mess? You know? But step by step, the Lord is bringing me through. And the devil would like to muzzle me. He would like me to just shut up and sit in a corner and just be pitiful and just be weak and not be effective. But I'm sorry, it's time for us to say, you know, put on your big girl pants, confess your sins, and let's be free from all this.
I got big boy pants.
You keep their pants on.
Amen.
It's quite a responsibility of us to keep yourself clean. We are the vessels of the Lord. James 1 and verse 27. Do I have a volunteer to read that? James 1.
Pure religion.
1 verse what?
James 27.
Pure religion. Somebody else read it?
He's going to read it.
I'll read it.
Caleb's going
to read it. Go ahead, Caleb.
Caleb's reading it.
Loud.
When you get there.
I'll find it myself.
Here.
What was it, James?
It's right here. James 1, verse 27.
Pure religion.
Loud.
Pure religion and
undefiled.
Undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affection and to keep himself unspotted from the world.
It is.
For sure.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you, Caleb.
The cracks.
The main point I want you to get there is unspotted from the world. We need to keep ourselves unspotted. Verse 12. For ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the Lord God of Israel will be your reward. I looked that up. A reward is the rear guard of the army. So, let me jump to Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30 and verse 21 and 22. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Now if we're in a hurry or if we go by flight, you might not hear that voice behind you. And the Lord is in the way back trying to make sure that we're in the right, going in the right direction. This is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. Ye shall defile also the coverings of thy graven images of silver and the ornaments of thy molten images of gold. Thou shalt cast them away as a menstruous cloth. Now that's nasty. Thou shalt say unto it, get thee hence. Yes, those nasty Amen. Things needs to be get hence. The coverings of your graven Praise images God. And the ornaments, those are trying to cover up the excuses, the things that you have made, your own personal idols, your own, you know, personal things that you have lifted up. It says that... it's like you're making excuses for those works. You're covering up those sins, those idols in your life. We should call it like it is and flush it. Dispose of it. It's like you don't blow your nose and keep it in your pocket forever. Yeah. Eventually you're going to have to put it in the wash machine or throw it away.
Yeah.
Verse 13, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. No, not that high. As many were astonied at him, as many were astonied at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man. And his form was more than sons of men. This has to do with the crucifixion that's being foretold. 15. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The king shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see. And that which they had not heard shall they consider. In other words, when this happened, when his visage was marred and he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised and crushed and all those stripes, then that's when the blood was sprinkled out over all these, over everyone. We all have the opportunity. Amen. He has given his life for us that we can be his. And the thing is when the... when they were sprinkled, the kings and all that, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. What they saw but they didn't understand, or what they heard and they couldn't hear, when the blood of Jesus was sprinkled over all these things, the revelation came. And when the revelation came that Jesus came to save us, that's when like it was like, there's the key. There's the key right there to the kingdom. That the Lord wants to make known his life unto us by that. Right now, I'm down to Isaiah 53, and I'm not sure if I ought to jump onto that or wait. All right. 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. When Jesus was here on earth, he was just like any old person like you or me. It wasn't like it was, I don't want to name any. Like, who's that guy in Blue Bloods? Tom Selleck. I mean, he wasn't a movie star. He wasn't somebody that the girls were drooling over and saying, oh, Jesus.
For yourself.
I mean... he was just a regular old person.
Yeah.
That's the thing about the... He had no comeliness like that. Fred Astaire. Okay, verse 3.
Ancient days.
He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. You know, Jesus took all that, those negative things that we have, all of our problems on his back. It says, by his stripes we are healed. It's not just the physical stripes, and people say, oh, you got a cold, by his stripes you are healed. You know, the kind of pain that we need to be delivered from is a thing that goes straight down to your heart. Those heart, grief, sorrows, that's what the Lord has healed us from. Not just the physical, but the mental things that we've got crushing upon our brains. That's what the Lord wants to get to set us free.
Thank you.
Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. This is one of Pastor's verses she likes to go to a lot. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. The part that says chastisement of our peace, the thing is, he was chastised and he was wounded and he was bruised so we can have peace.
Amen. Amen.
So when we have these times where we are just feeling horrible, we need to realize that the Lord took that for us. And he's the only one that can take away that pain and that turmoil. He can turn our mourning into dancing. And he can make all those things that were so bad for us good. So instead of wallowing down in the mully grubs and in the dirt and in the confusion and your state of mind that is like, we can say, that's why he was bruised. That's why he was pierced and crushed, is so that we can have peace. But it doesn't come automatically. It doesn't. It's, if it stays in the book, it stays in the book. If it stays in the preaching in the pulpit, it stays there. You've got to get down yourself and say, okay, this has happened. Lord, I am bruised. I am having turmoil. I have sorrow. I have pain and heartache. And you were bruised for that. And Lord, give me peace.
Amen.
And that's what keeps me surviving. That's what gives me peace. And that's how I can maintain, is when I say the Lord has taken these things. So when you think of the sadness of sorrow, the grossness of grief, the terrible turmoil, the horrible heartache, realize that Jesus took that for us. And it's no wonder that his death on the cross was so horrible. And they couldn't even recognize him. He was covered in our pain. He didn't look the same. And sometimes I think that too. At my worst times, I'm sure people that know me would say, dang, Jane doesn't even look like herself. Yeah, that's true. We have these folks brought in the other gal that's probably working. She asked me a perfectly good question a month ago. And I just looked at her, I said, I can't. I mean, ask Dr. Tellers. You know, when you're at your lowest, when you're at your worst, you just don't function. And you know what else? You just don't care that you don't function. You know, when you're so bad and miserable, the only thing that's going to pull you out is Jesus.
Amen. Right.
That is the only thing that's going to pull us into safety and get us up on our feet so that we are functioning like we're supposed to. Okay, we already gone to, by his stripes we are healed.
Yes.
Verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. Yeah, I've gone astray a time or two. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. All of our punishment and all of our iniquity, that was all put on Jesus. You know, because we couldn't save ourselves. There's no way we could take the hammer and nail and crucify ourselves. And then what are you going to do with this? You always have one hand to play in your pocket. Do something what you're not supposed to do, right? So the only way possible is to realize that Jesus died for us. He died for our sins so that we can live. He was oppressed. and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. You know, he wasn't on the cross and getting beaten and whipped and pierced and saying, "This isn't for me. I'm doing this all for you." Ouch, ouch. He didn't do that. He didn't open his mouth. He took it quietly, just like Justin when he was talking about when his kids were born. It's like he would do anything to protect those kids. And that's what Jesus did for us. Jesus would do whatever. He did everything he could do to protect us. Yeah. And we just need to realize it and, cash in. I'm not trying to say cash in that way, but that's the only way we're going to be set free. Amen. It says, this is our relief. No other way to be free but through Jesus. He opened not his mouth. Jesus freely saved us. He never said, "I didn't do this. It wasn't because of me." Verse 8. He was taken from prison. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Verse 9, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. You know, he was crucified up there with the thief, and I forget the other fellow, but and with the rich in his death. Joseph of Arimathea, he was a rich fellow. He got Jesus and he gave him a proper burial and a proper send-off. So he did. That was foretelling there about Joseph. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit found in his mouth.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Verse 11. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge, and shall by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. And thank God for that.
Praise God.
Verse 12.
Amen.
Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressor, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. You know, the Lord took those negative things from us and gave us peace and salvation, and that is what we need to cash in. I'm going to close with Romans, if you'd like to turn. Romans, chapter 6, verse 16 through 18. Excuse you, Michael. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey? His servants, am I in the right spot? Yeah.
Yeah.
His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servant of righteousness.
Amen.
The only way we can survive is to realize that Jesus bore our sufferings and he took our sins, and we've got to thank him for that.
Amen.
And ask for his forgiveness so that we can walk in his ways. I think there's something else I might have forgotten, but I think that's it.
Thank you.
Great.
Thank you. Praise God.
We're going to top that off because we need it. Give a picture of it all. Amen.
Yeah.
All right. Let's stand and partake of communion, which